I was sitting with my family in the pew at Walnut Hill United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas, during worship one Sunday. It was amongst my earliest memories of church. And I remember sitting there as the pastor prayed the pastoral prayer. And then we prayed what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. And I had learned it in Sunday school class. Mrs. Hill, my Sunday school teacher, had taught us how to pray it, and we prayed it every week. And I remember she would also, before we'd have graham crackers, and I loved graham crackers, by the way. And so one time I decided that my two graham crackers weren't enough. And so I reached over while Billy was looking the wrong way, and I took one of his. Oops. We got to church that Sunday. We were praying the Lord's Prayer, and I had just taken and eaten that graham cracker. And we're praying the Lord's Prayer. And we got to "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And I remember feeling absolutely horrible. And I ran to Billy and I asked him after church, I said, "I stole one of your graham crackers." And I remember Billy saying, "Well, I thought you were hungry, so I let you have it." Oh, he forgave me. And that will always remain with me, that memory and that feeling of forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive?" "As many as seven times," thinking that seven is a lot. Three times was the standard requirement in the day. But seven? Seven times? And Jesus says, "Not seven times, I tell you, but 77 times. Some of the manuscripts of the New Testament say, not 77 times, but 70 times seven. But if it's 77 times or 490 times or 490,000 times, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're always to be forgiving. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It can be really tough sometimes to forgive. It was easy for Billy to forgive me. It's not always easy for me to forgive others. Many of us like to keep the sins that others have committed against us, against them, dwelling on them, refusing to let go of them. But the truth is that we're always to be forgiving. And that's what the parable of the ungrateful servant teaches us. In the parable, we are the first servant. The one who has been forgiven so much, an incredible debt. And we read over this and it just goes right by it. We don't really realize how much it's talking about. 10,000 talents, what's that? It's not lima beans, it's money. What is it? Well, there's a way to calculate that. A denarius is one day's wage in the ancient world. It was the minimum salary of the Roman Empire. One denarius, one day's wage. And a talent is 6,000 denarii. 6,000 days of labor, or about 20 years of labor. And he didn't owe just one talent, 6,000 denarii. He owed 10,000 denarii. Oh my God, that's amazing. That's 200,000 years of labor at minimum,
wage, or calculated out about $3 billion. What? How could you possibly owe that much? Unless you're involved in graft or theft or politics, you're not going to owe that much. Oh my God, what a stupendous debt. And yet, the king forgave him. He begged for forgiveness, and the king forgave him. And then he goes out and he sees another servant who owes him 100 denarii, 100 days worth of labor, a debt that's big, about, you know, in terms of minimum wage today, about $5,000. But I mean, that's a manageable debt, a real debt, about a third of a year's worth of labor, but a debt that could conceivably be repaid over time. And that's what he asked for. Give me time, and I promise I will repay it. But the first servant who'd been forgiven a stupendous debt grabs him by the throat and says, "Repay me what you owe me," and has him thrown into debtor's prison until he would be repaid. No forgiveness, no mercy, no grace, no nothing. So the other servants hear about it. They're shocked, they're terrified, they're upset, they're disturbed. And so they go and they tell the king, and the king calls in the first servant who had been forgiven and said, "I forgave you so much, 10,000 talents, and you refuse to forgive a tiny little 100 denarii debt? Your entire debt's put back on your head, and you're thrown into prison until you repay." We are that first servant. We owe God a debt we cannot calculate. It doesn't matter what we've done or how we've failed or where we've sinned. A lot of people are good at setting up the ledger and figuring out what the sins of other people are. They don't really do that very well with themselves. And that's why we frequently don't want to forgive, because we don't want to recognize how much we have been forgiven by God. God has forgiven our debt totally and completely simply because we have asked to be forgiven. And then, like the first servant, we go out and refuse to forgive the relatively small debts that others owe us. Back to the Lord's Prayer, I can remember the first time I went with a friend to their Presbyterian church, and we got to the Lord's Prayer, and we're praying, and it comes out to that part, and instead of trespasses, it was debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, that makes it really close, friends. Trespasses is one of those words that, you know, you can hear goes in one ear and out the other, and oh well. But debts, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven others. This first servant didn't forgive, and so he was not forgiven. Refusing to forgive destroys lives and relationships. I've seen it destroy whole families and communities and churches. Refusing to forgive can become in and of itself a terrible, destructive, pervasive sin. And that's why Jesus said, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Refusing to forgive becomes its own torture, its own punishment, its own imprisonment, its own sin. We must learn to be a people of forgiveness. That word forgive
has in its background, its history as a word, an image. The for word, the word for at the beginning of it, in the prefix, means all, complete. Give means to give, to remit, to let go of, to completely release is what to forgive means. To completely release. I'm going to invite you to share in a spiritual exercise with me. It's an exercise, a spiritual discipline that I was taught when I was a novice in a monastic community back in the early 1990s. It's a spiritual discipline that helps with forgiveness. I want you to think of something that someone else has done to you in the past. Something that was a sin against you or someone you love. Something that hurt, that still hurts today. Something that might not be going on right now, or it may be in the past, or it may be something that's happening still today, and something that needs to be stopped. I want you to settle on it in your minds. Picture it in your mind. If necessary, place a degree of space between you and it, enough space to make you feel safe, enough of a barrier if it is needed to keep you whole. Picture it in your mind. And remember for just a moment what was done to you. Now, I want you to take your hands, put them out right in front of you. Put your hands out in front of you. I want you to make a fist with both hands. And as you make that fist, and as you start to squeeze tightly, I want you to project into your hands that pain, that hurt, that the sin generated in your life, that resentment, that the sin that was done against you generated in your life. I want you to project them into your fists. Project them tightly into your fist as you hold on to it like we do with sins that have been committed that we don't want to let go of. Hold on to the point that you almost can't anymore. And then, as you say, "I forgive you," let go. Sometimes you have to do it again. Hold on. "I forgive you." And let go. It's a spiritual discipline that works. It places into motion, emotional motion, that pain that we grab onto, that it generates in us. And when we let go, we forgive. We release it to God. I can't tell you the number of times I've been in confessional with another pastor confessing my sin. And this practice helps me to let go of how I beat up on myself for sin, as well as the sins of others that I cling to so desperately. You see, when we hang on to those sins that others have committed against us, we do more damage to ourselves. Those others, they might not even remember what they did. I bet you anything, if I could find Billy today and ask him, "Do you remember when I stole your graham cracker?" He wouldn't remember. But I do. He set it aside completely. It's not torn him up. Let go. That doesn't mean you allow things that are still happening to you to continue to happen to you. You set distances. You have intercession. If necessary, you report to authorities. You do what you need to do to protect yourself and others. But you don't continue to cling to the point that you're hurting. You let them go. You give them to God.
How often am I supposed to give? How many times am I supposed to give? How often should I forgive those who've sinned against me? As many as 7 times? No. 77 times. 70 times 7 times. Forever and always forgiving and forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. In your prayer.